Welcome back to the Roundtable. We're thrilled to have you with us this morning. And we're also thrilled to have our good friend, Julianne Boyd, with us. She is the artistic director of Barrington Stage Company. And boy, do they have a cool festival coming up to tell us about. Barrington Stage Company's 2021 10x10 New Play Festival is, you guessed it, going virtual this year. The event is also celebrating its 10th year of presenting short plays during these short days of winter. Streaming March 11th through the 14th. And the 18th through the 21st, half of the original plays are directed by Matthew Penn and the other half by Julianne Boyd herself, who joins us now. Julie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. It's good to hear your voice. I miss you.
I miss you, too. We're doing this by phone. Maybe one day we'll actually do it in person again. You know?
I know.
Here's hoping.
Well, look, we have some time, so I want to spend time talking about this project. I want to talk about the festival. I want to talk about all that's going on. But before we get to that, let me just get the Julianne Boyd pulse of the performing arts now from the way you see it right now. As things start to open up, as you know, we start to plan and think about what a future could be like, where does that leave you? How does it leave Barrington Stage in the planning for the summer, the fall, and looking down the road?
All good questions, Joe. All great questions. As you know, we did a season last year, a very short season, but we were the first theater to actually have first theater to do a production in the United States during the pandemic. It was done outside, one actor, but what we learned in the safety protocol was amazing. And we also had prepared our indoor theater, our main stage, which normally has 520 seats. You know, we took out rows and we're very, very careful and ended up with 160 seats. We changed our airflow system. We changed filters. Everyone had to have masks and so forth. But we weren't allowed to use it because the governor never allowed us to open indoor theaters. So this year, as you know, Governor Baker has already said we could have indoor theater, we could have outdoor theater. So where we are right now, we're very hopeful. However, we're not going to do what he said. We're not going to even be as he basically said we could have 50%, you know, and that's 520 seats, 260 seats. I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think to be totally safe, we're going to stick with our 160, which is one third of our seating, because you never know what's going to happen. So I think we're cautiously optimistic about the season, and we're planning to have some indoor theater, small productions, and outdoor theater as well under a tent.
So my theater lover friends and I talk about this all the time. So let me ask you and to see, because I'm pretty sure you're talking about this too. But with limits of people that can come in, and when you say he, I assume you mean the governor, yes? The governor of the state.
Yes, yes.
So and your governor is different than the New York governor, but all of them setting these guidelines for what's going to open and when and how many people you can have at any given time. So the question I have, even let's take Barrington Stage out of it and just say universally that you can have, okay, we have we have 500 seats we can have, or 300 seats, and we can have a third of that, and then we're going to have this production. How do you make the money? How do you not raise the price for the theater goer, but also be able to pay your actors and everyone else included in this production? And again, that's not even, yes, it's a Barrington Stage question, but that's a universal question on the reopening of Broadway, dot, dot, dot.
Absolutely. That is the big challenge. By the way, if you open it up for a third, everyone still has to wear masks. They still have sanitation. You know,
right.
I mean, everyone,
yeah.
you can imagine sanitizer all over, digital programs. All of those protocol will be enforced. In equity, the Actors Union also has very strict protocol. The way that you break even, I won't say make money, because we will not make money this year, and we probably won't even break even. We're hoping that our supporters so want theater, and we're feeling that they do. Last year, people came, they saw a stage with lights, and they started crying. It's like, oh my God,
right.
I can't believe it. It's been so long, and that was only 3 or 4 months, as you know. You do smaller productions. For instance, our first production this summer will be Chester Bailey with Tony Award winner Reed Burney and his son Ephraim. two actors. Brilliant play by Joseph Darity. And so we can't have the large cast because we can't afford it. Also, Equity is making us have all the actors stand at least, even though they get tested three times a week, they still have to be 6 feet apart from one another. So, for instance, we were going to do South Pacific. You know what? Could you imagine there's nothing like a Dane with everybody 6 feet apart? Isn't going to happen. And also, they said you had to have plexi barriers between each one. You can't do a musical that way. So in a way, we're being challenged by it. But we'll do smaller plays, and I think that's the answer for now. Hopefully, we'll get back to something more normal. Who knows if it will really be totally normal? Something more normal in 2022.
Yeah, and I guess that's what I wonder about of what the normal will be of, because this is what I know about wonderful people like you who work so hard in bringing the performing arts to our region and keep it here and do a brilliant job, is that you're working so far ahead. And so this has to screw just
absolutely
everything up. So, you know, normally you would be thinking about 2022, 2023, how are we going to do this? What's going to come in? And with the, well, I don't really know what it's going to be like, it just puts you sort of in a purgatory for a little while, doesn't it?
You know, our words last summer, and they're going to be our words this summer, be nimble and pivot. Be ready to pivot. Hey, we got our indoor theater ready. Okay, the governor isn't allowing us to do indoor theater. Well, we'll go outdoors. I mean, you make those adjustments, and you work with those actors and those designers who you know. I mean, last year, I don't think we've ever had a closer camaraderie than the actors and designers working at the theater, because we all knew we were doing something very special, but we also knew that no one could get COVID. It would be a terrible example. No one got COVID.
Yeah.
In the cast and our audience, we were so careful. You know, you have to have everyone sit 6 feet apart in a tent. Well, we had a stick, Joe, that was 6 feet apart. If somebody moved a seat, we went up to them, took out the stick, and said, I'm sorry, you're not 6 feet apart. Don't move that seat. Because if we don't, we have to make sure everybody knows it's a shared responsibility. In the arts right now, the audience as well as the actors and those of us on the other side, we all have to work together to make it safe. And you know what? They got it. The audience, no one took their mask off during the productions. And at first I thought, are they going to be able to keep their mask on? But there was no intermission. The shows are limited to like 90 minutes. So hopefully there's not money, you know, people don't also have to go to the bathroom. They can keep the mask on. And if they had to take their mask off, we told them they had to go outside the tent, go in front of the tent several feet away if they felt they had to cough or they needed water or something like that. And Joe, they did it because they were so happy to be involved in a theater event at that time.
Well, and still are, right? I mean, that's the thing. So I love the edict of or the mantra of be nimble and pivot. So I will, again, I promise we'll get to the 10x10 festival, and perhaps this is the way to get into it. But one of the things that this also brings is great creativity. And you
you're right.
You are being especially, I mean, all these companies are being especially creative because they have to do something, and they're going to do something that is, as you say, safe. So this particular festival is a virtual festival. You are also doing that, and so that is cool, right? I mean, that's something that you get to film on stage and present to people, and it's another way of reaching your audience.
You know, that's what we're realizing, that this year is going to be a hybrid year. What we did after we did our live theater in the summer, we then moved over to Zoom readings, which people are starting to really dislike now, but Zoom readings, or in the case of Eleanor, which is a play about Eleanor Roosevelt, we had the actress in one-person show, Tony Award winner Harriet Harris, who will be doing it again this summer for us, by the way, but she did a reading. We filmed it in an empty theater. So we either do a Zoom reading, we film it in an empty theater. So what we did with the 10x10, we rehearsed them in a rehearsal room. You know, all the airflow was changed. We had ionizers. We had absolutely every safety precaution that Equity required. We went into the empty theater. I thought the actors were going, the emotional reaction that they were in a theater performing, even without an audience, was it just gave you chills. But here's some of the weird stuff. I had to keep all the actors, Matt and I had to keep the actors 6 feet apart. an actor couldn't touch a prop if another actor touched the prop.
Yeah.
So talk about creativity. One woman is supposed to bring in a cup of coffee for another woman, right? Well, we said, okay, they can't touch. Okay, it'll be on a tray. The tray sanitized. The cups are sanitized. Make-believe coffee, no coffee in it. She brings in a tray. So the one actress takes the cup, and the other actress touches the other cup. That's just one example. People can't dance together. We actually did a funny thing where this older woman supposed to be dancing with her caregiver. We've just put a 6-foot red pole between them, and they danced with the pole.
Yeah.
With the stick. I mean, it's funny because I set it up that way at the top. I do a little speech saying, you're going to see the 6-foot pole. This is going to keep people socially distant. I know. It's like when you see it, someone's supposed to kiss a daughter, supposed to kiss a mother. Big moment because the daughter doesn't normally kiss the mother. She had to blow her a kiss.
Yeah. Well, you do what you have to do. Julianne Boyd is with us, artistic director of Barrington Stage Company. Their 10x10 New Play Festival is coming up March 11th through the 14th, and again, the 18th through the 21st. It's filmed and then will be virtual, and you can find out information.
Streaming it.
You can go to barringtonstageco.org for more information. So let's talk about the festival. This is something, the festival itself is celebrating its 10th anniversary, which is very exciting. And the way this all works is 10-minute plays, 10 playwrights, and you get 100 minutes of a really cool evening. So give us a sense of the backstory to this and then how you put together this particular season.
Sure. Well, 10 years ago, my husband and I were in Nantucket and in September or something, and I saw this like 10 paintings were for sale, 10 by 10, either 10 inches by 10 inches. And they were all over, it was a big festival over in Nantucket. And I had heard about 10-minute plays. At the same time, the city of Pittsfield, our cultural commissioner here, had gotten in touch with me and said, can't you do something in the winter? I mean, we have skiers here, but we don't have any arts. I mean, could you do something? And I thought, oh, a 10-minute play festival. So we did it with the city of Pittsfield collaborating, and they were able to get, paintings, actually to sell 10-inch paintings. They were going to get 10 people doing tangos, 10 films shot in your iPhone. It became a big winter festival here. The first year it was small, and it grew, and it grew. And now, I mean, other than this year, we're bringing in maybe, I think it's between 6,000 and 7,000 people generally come into Pittsfield during this. It's a 10-day festival. So, and it was exciting because that meant the restaurants were busier than usual and so forth. So we started it and we did it for 10 days. It sold out immediately and it also attracted younger audience. Because Joe, if you can't concentrate for a long time, if you're not used to going to the theater and you see a 10-minute play, if you don't like it, there's another 10-minute play.
Right.
You know, it kind of was fun to see what people liked. We now, as of last year, we ran it a month. Instead of 2 weeks, 5 performances a weekend, we actually have been running it 4 weeks. And you know what's interesting? We picked up a larger audience from Albany than any other shows. People just loved coming across because, unless it's a big snowstorm, it's easy to get here. And it was just a really enjoyable, fun evening. About 8 of the 10 plays are funny, by the way. We try to keep them funny. There's always like a couple of serious ones. So that's the history, and it's been growing, except this year, our 10th anniversary, when we were like, oh, you're kidding. So the only directive we sent out something to playwrights. We got, I think it was 280 plays. I mean, it's just amazing, okay? And what happens is this year we said no COVID plays. We thought that would be depressing, and mm-hmm. we're trying to cheer people up. So we just said, let's try to keep upbeat as much as possible. Serious plays are okay, but we just wanted, it's too raw. It's too raw right now to consider those plays.
So one of the things that I found when I first went to this festival that is just how much you can do in 10 minutes. I think it will. it's really you can have an arc. You can have a beginning, a middle, and an end, and do a beautiful job in 10 minutes.
That's the amazing thing. You're absolutely right. And usually the plays have either a beginning, middle, or end, or there's a twist at the end. It goes in a direction that you're not expecting it. You're absolutely right. Some of those plays, you're going, oh, my God. And then you would wonder whether if the play were expanded, whether it could be a one-act or a full-length play. I think in all of these years, I only know one of the plays that's been made into a full-length play. Because it's an art to do, to say what you want to say in 10 minutes. And I think they're very special plays.
They are. So give us a sense. I mean, obviously, we can't talk probably about all 10. We won't have time. But give us an idea, a smattering of what people can expect.
Well, the opening play is called Protecting the Innocent. It's a young couple wrapping Christmas presents, and their little daughter is trying to sneak down the steps. And they're trying to keep her upstairs. And this actually is the only one that is tiny, tiny bit related to COVID, to tell you the truth, because the daughter is up there, and they can't keep the daughter there. And the father goes up, and he scares her. And he says, not only is it going to be a ghost, but a monster's going to come and eat us up, the parents, and your friends, and your aunt and uncle. And the mother goes, excuse me, at this time, when she's so scared to go outside, there's social distancing and all these different things, you're scaring her even more. This is the holidays, so you can see that that's kind of a how far can you go with kids and how scared are they is something that I think is on everyone's mind who has a family. But then we have a silly one where Cupid appears in the guise of Robert Zuckerman, a 65-year-old man, and he shot someone's boyfriend. A woman's boyfriend, because he used the wrong arrow. He was trying to shoot love into the man because he was cheating on her. And instead, he shot the guy with Orion's hunting arrow, and he kills him. I mean, and that's funny, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
There is, let's see, there's, I don't want to give away the story. On the Rocks, it's a play that takes place in Boca, and it's something that a husband does to make sure that his wife wins an award, wins a contest, and it's how far he goes to keep her. Make sure that she wins this award to the chagrin of a son and a daughter-in-law. It's really funny, but I can't tell you what that is. There's always like a speed dating play, young couple, speed dating. There's another couple. There's a prostitute who visits a woman, and the woman is a 70-year-old woman, and she is looking for some excitement for her husband's 70th birthday.
There you go.
They're all
gift
kinds
that keeps on
of
giving.
And so it's hard to wrap them up in a sentence, but they're just so varied. There's one called Finding Help, where an older woman does not, and this is a story that so many people know, wants to stay home. She doesn't want to go into assisted living, and the daughter's saying, you must. She's going, no. And so the daughter brings in a young guy to take care of her, and she totally rejects him, bah humbug, until the end, when there's a lovely denouement between the two of them. And we learn how to take care of older people, that we have to hear what they want and not what their children want for them.
Let us talk about the cast, because these are all 10 by 10 alums, right?
It's so exciting. Peggy Farr Wilson has done it every year for 10 years. Unbelievable. Robert Zuckerman, this is the old. We usually have a young couple. I always say sort of late 20s, early 30s. Then we have a couple that's like late 30s, 40s. And then we have a couple that's about 60 or so. And so Peggy Farr Wilson has done it every year. Robert Zuckerman, who's the other older actor, is he's done it several years. Then we have a middle couple, and that is Matt Neely has done it almost every year. And he always writes the funny prologue. He's really wonderful. And we always have some sort of introductory thing. By the way, we can't do singing inside, so we usually do a takeoff on a Broadway song, like we did one on Hamilton, we did one on Guys and Dolls, West Side Story. This year, we had to do a takeoff on a Shakespearean prologue because the actors aren't allowed to sing inside.
Mm.
Matt Neely did that. Carrie Saffron has been there a number of years. And then our younger couple has only done it once last year, Doug Harris and Maya Jackson. I think if this was the first year an actor did it, he or she would be going like, what am I doing? I can't touch. I can't get near anyone. This is supposed to be funny. How would I know? So our biggest challenge is not knowing where the laughs are. We rehearsed it, and then we filmed it, and we never had an audience. And what the actors normally do in this, they usually have about 3 performances to hear the laughs. We tighten things up. We might cut a few lines, or we say, wait for a laugh. So they're like, what do we do? And I just got to guess where the laugh is and move on. So that's the real challenge, is when you do comedy without an audience. You know, like if you watch the Stephen Colbert show, it just isn't as funny without an audience.
Yeah,
people laugh.
It's different. And so you, but you know they're out there. You know that people will do it. I wasn't going to let go what you said earlier, that people are getting sick of Zoom. It is a problem, isn't it? I mean, people, because everything got mushed together, home, family, life, work, and then we were doing our doctor's appointments, and then suddenly you're thinking, oh, God, now I have to go back and do Zoom to watch my entertainment.
So this isn't Zoom. The good
thing about this is that's streaming.
One of the reasons. Yeah, because in Zoom, sometimes you're looking at people looking at other people.
Yeah.
You know, first thing you do when you get on Zoom is you look at yourself, right? And you go, oh, my hair's messy, or it's terrible what we all do. And this is actually filmed in the theater. So there is and I have to tell you this one moment. At the very, very end, I'm going to give away something. At the very end, we just could not deal with what's happening now. We have a stagehand. He's actually our associate director of production, come out in a hazmat suit and put the ghost light on the stage, look around at the empty theater, and walk off.
Yeah.
Well, that's our comment for today. You know, it's like, we're going to be back, but right now it's COVID time, and we just have to be careful.
Yeah. We have about 2 minutes left, and I just want you to talk a little bit about how you have been working. I assume this is a bit of a group project and working with other artistic institutions within the Berkshires of figuring out what you're all going to do and what those conversations have been like over the past several months.
Yeah, we're working on, you know, we had developed very early on our safety protocol because we had performances last year, and we had worked with the Berkshire Health System, you know, the hospital here, and we worked with Train, you know, air conditioning, which is actually centered in Albany, to change our whole system. So we had really, really done a lot and talked to a lot of people. And so we had a lot in place already, but what happened was the culturals in the last few months have decided that we need a more standard cultural courtesy, so that we've come up with a set of safety protocol that we will all follow. Mm. And it really deals mostly with outdoor theater. We have our own very stringent indoor theater. And I think the way it's going now, there's probably going to be more indoor theater. I mean, even though everyone has to wear a mask, but if you can get your facility ready, it seems to be fine if you keep everyone apart. So we've been working. We're talking to one another. We were happy we were going to go to the governor to see if we could open. But before we did, he's letting us open. So that's kind of good. But every single performing arts or performing institution in the Berkshires will have a common safety protocol, common courtesy of safety protocol that have to be followed. So if you go to one, you know that you have to do the same thing at the other. You have to have your mask. You have to stay socially distant, you know. And I think that's important so people know what to expect when they come to the Berkshires.
Well, the Barrington Stage Company's 2021 10x10 New Play Festival is just the beginning of some beautiful work that will be taking place in the Berkshires over the next several months. It is streaming March 11th through the 14th and the 18th through the 21st. You can learn more information about the entire festival and find out more about what we were talking about by going to barringtonstageco.org, barringtonstageco.org. 10 plays, 10 minutes. It's 100 minutes total. Their 10th year. It's great. Really terrific. Julianne Boyd is the artistic director of Barrington Stage. Julie, it's always good to talk to you. Thank you very much for being with us. I wish you all the luck in the world, and thank you very much for all the beautiful work that you do for the community.
Thanks, Joe. It's been a pleasure, real pleasure.
Thank you. Be well. Again, you can find out more by going to barringtonstageco.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.